speaking to North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley about a complicated topic. We're going to try and break it down, but I feel like it has a lot of impact on North Dakota court cases, especially when it comes to a wide variety of topics. So let's try to break it down. North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley, how are you doing today on this Friday?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you and your listeners, and appreciate the opportunity to discuss this enormous development in the in what we'll call, it sounds kind of bland, agency law here in America, but boy, the impact is dramatic, and its impact on our democracy is quite dramatic as well, because it restores the proper power to the proper branches of our government, the people that we elect to go to Washington and make our laws, and then those laws get interpreted by courts. Under this new decision, when we do away with Chevron deference, now the bureaucrats don't run the country. They don't interpret the congressional. They don't get wide deference when they're interpreting congressional statutes and implementing them as members of the executive branch. They have to adhere to the close guidance of those statutes, and those actions will be judged by courts at whether they're administering the laws as passed by our elected representatives. It's pretty fundamental, and it has a lot to say about an enormous number of cases that we have. Where we are suing the federal government for having their bureaucrats misapply federal law to the detriment of North Dakota.
It is interesting to hear all of this, and I know we're going to try and make this for our listeners so we can kind of all wrap our heads around this. So North Dakota has many cases that they're looking at the federal government for resolving here. Which ones in particular do you feel like this applies to the most?
Here's a good example. What's known as the Matz rule, and what it is is North Dakota, we're leading. We got 23 other states to go along with us in this litigation that we are leading against the Biden administration, against the EPA rule, that they put in a new rule imposing new regulations on coal fire plants and emissions. So far, so good, right? Most people say, well, yeah, well, we want to have more regulation of those emissions. Inside that rule, that new rule that the Biden administration put out, in their own guidance on the thing, they acknowledge there is no measurable health benefit. No measurable health benefit. And yet they put it out there. Clearly, we believe, not in compliance with the congressional mandates under this guard. They're not regulating. They are re-legislating, and they're doing it in a way that is focused on our coal plants here in North Dakota and other places, with the goal that their political objective is to close those plants. And they completely ignore that they are an essential part of our energy grid in this country. None of us, these are matters of life and death. They're not matters just of convenience. They're matters of life and death in a modern society, the reliance on energy, and it's got to be dependable, and it should be, and we are producing it when it's cost efficient as well. That's a big one. And the bureaucracy there decided they want to shut down some coal plants. So they'll come up with some onerous, burdensome regulations that, by their own acknowledgments, they have no measurable health benefit. That's shocking to most people. Well, we're litigating that matter, and we're leading a 23-state coalition, and we're hopeful. And the case just got better because of the Supreme Court of the United States saying, no, this country is run by the elected representatives, and then their actions as they're carried out are overseen by, or I mean, I should say, interpreted by the courts, not by bureaucracies.
And so the Matz rule being a big one, and we can focus on that for a second too. I'm looking at their fact sheet they sent down to reporters, and that also as part of the White House press team and all that fun stuff. If for anyone who's curious, it was the EPA tightening the emission standard for mercury and existing lignite coal power plants by 70%. That's the goal, the stated goal at the very least. And the
are the words that they use, and that sounds good, right? People say, oh, they're tightening. There's going to be less mercury, and yet. It doesn't. The proof is in the pudding. It doesn't do those things, and they can't even measure what they hope to be a health benefit. They don't even have a way to measure it.
There was a criticism by Senator Cramer, I believe, as well, where one of the plants that they tried to use as like the model, the standard, didn't meet their own standards proposed in the Matz rule, is my understanding.
Right. So, yep, Senator Cramer's been terrific on this. So has Senator Hoeven, Congressman Armstrong. They've all been leaders in the Congress and Senate. On this issue, because it's a matter of existence for our coal plants here in North Dakota, And then the energy that we produce, not just for North Dakota, obviously, we export most of our energy that we produce in the state, and other states around us depend on that, and that it be dependable, that they can count on it when the weather is, freezing, life-threatening cold, and everything else we rely on in a modern society.
And so what impact do you see here on from this, the Matz case specifically? Because I'm going to call it the death of Chevron, but like at least the extreme limitation on Chevron going forward. This has to...
Oh, it's the death of Chevron. It's the death of that deference. And it's saying that you don't defer to the interpretation of a bureaucracy that we didn't elect. We don't even know who they are. It's somebody in, cubicle number 8 over at the EPA, running this country and interpreting the laws that are passed by our elected representatives. No, this is the death of Chevron. This is 40 years in the making, and now we're back to the situation that we had before that, where the Congress has hearings. They hear from the stakeholders. They make determinations based on cost-benefit analysis. They look down the road and do the best they can to have legislation that they can defend to their voters and to the industries in their state and around the country. And then they pass those balanced compromises, and then you go forward with that. And then it's up to the executive branch to carry that out in compliance with what the Congress passed, not what some bureaucrat who happens to work for whoever is in the White House at that moment. That's not the way the system works. We don't elect kings in this country to have bureaucracies do whatever they say to do. We elect a Congress to pass the laws. And this is that fundamental. And I think maybe some of your listeners will think that I'm kind of painting this thing with crayons. No, it is that fundamental ruling, and it's getting back to where our Constitution was throughout all of our history until about 40 years ago, when the bureaucratic state started taking control away from elected officials, and courts, for whatever reason, were deferring to those judgments being made by executive branch officials, as opposed to what the court's job is and what it is restored to being, which is to interpret the laws as they were passed by the Congress and the duly elected Congress, not the bureaucrats at the EPA or in other federal agencies.
I'm going to cite something that Senator Cramer said, that he talked about how that there's people whose heads are exploding and how that there probably can't even be like even another regulation again passed by certain agencies. And he just responded with, yep, thank you very much. And like that's his response, of course. But like, how much of an impact do you think this has going forward on other things that could be brought forward? Environmental regulations that could target North Dakota energy industries or ag industrial stuff. This has a huge impact going forward, not just on current cases, but even future potential cases going against us.
Of course. I mean, no one cares more about it. We've got the cleanest air in the country. We've got clean air out here. We've got clean water. We're wise stewards of the land out here, and that's why we're the number one ag producer in 17 or 20 different commodities. We're the number three oil producer in the nation, and not far behind number two, one of the top gas producers, natural gas producers in the nation. And then the electricity that we supply to not only our state, but to the region and into the national grid. We do all of those things, and we balance things. And the people of North Dakota demand that we do it with a stewardship obligation to meet reasonable regulations that are, some are state and some are federal. And they're passed by Congress that goes in and passes laws after having hearings and makes everything's a weighing analysis, right? Otherwise, think about your car. I don't know, maybe you do drive a Volvo, but if I'll pick on Volvo for a second, if people said, well, cost should never be an object, we just should have everybody should have the safest car. Everybody have to have the same car, and you can only drive a car if you can afford to buy a Volvo. And that would be kind of ridiculous, because people make their own assessments. They weigh the benefits and the risks. They think in my instance, I drive a Jeep. I make the determination that it's got sufficient safety, sufficient miles per gallon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, down the list. And I make the balancing test about that. That's what our Congress does about the laws that regulate our industries in this country. They realize there is no perfect. There will always be emissions of some kind. They heavily regulate what those emissions are, and they've been improving for decades. And they're continuing to improve now. But they also know that energy keeps us alive and progresses our society. And so they weigh those things out and have to explain them to their voters satisfactorily, or they won't be in office anymore. That's how the system works. It breaks down when we had 40 years of the Chevron deference, where all of a sudden Congress passes laws, but then this administration or the next one or the one before that, they come out and they're just regulating things with their bureaucrats, and they're quote unquote, they say, well, these are the experts. Experts are out there to implement the laws passed by our Congress. And I just keep saying it over and over, but it is that fundamental. And it's going to take a long time for people to get used to it, because they're going to realize this isn't an attempt to make our energy production dirty and our skies black and our water turn purple. No, not at all. It's a recognition that we live in a modern society where we balance long-term interests, costs, and benefits of certain degrees of regulation. And it's an ongoing process that is transparent and open and accessible to the public when they vote for people or lobby for change in their Congress. And I just think it's such a seismic shift back to the way things were prior to what happened with Chevron deference being brought into play. And so we're going to see it impact a lot of our litigation, because we are spending, North Dakota alone is spending millions of dollars fighting a federal government that seems to be at war with our agriculture communities, with our ag producers, both the cattle industry and the crop production segment of our society, certainly our energy producers in the state of North Dakota. Unnecessary, inefficient, and I think targeted regulations aimed at shutting down those industries. We would be producing a lot more energy, and we produce a heck of a lot already. We'd be producing even more with an appropriate balance of regulations going forward. And that's what you're going to see, because you're going to see members of Congress passing laws and their regulations having to balance the interests pro and con and long-term benefits and long-term costs and reaching determination on the appropriate degree of regulation.
I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't try and at least represent the other side. Feel free to go at it towards the end of this. But it's one of the things where, like, not every lawmaker is an expert in their specific field, whether they're talking about amino antibodies or even environmental regulation or tax law. Not everyone's an expert on everything. Right. And referring to the experts in the field is something that Chevron deference allowed for this to do. And now that that's gone, it's interesting to see that there could be more litigation and a slowing of regulation and a crippling of, from what I understand, that the current way government works in the United States. What's your response to something like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, look no further than the courthouse down at the end of your street. Who decides cases? The most complicated civil cases in the United States are handled by juries. A jury trial, no one has to be an expert. They don't have to be an engineer. They don't have to be a nuclear physicist. They don't have, in fact, most people would probably be put aside because they'd be determined to have some bias based on all their experience. No, we have people come in, and you have people of regular backgrounds, an assortment of them come in. They hear the evidence. They're instructed on what the law is, and then they apply it in a common sense way. There's a reason that our framers didn't put all sorts of academic credential requirements. You don't have to have a PhD to serve in the United States Senate. You don't have to have a law degree to be a member of Congress. What you have to be is selected by your peers to say, you know, I want this woman or I want this man to be the person there making judgments and about what they want the regulatory environment plus a host of other things, what they want it to be. And they are, when they're doing their job, they're having hearings and they're listening to experts like a jury does. They're hearing them out. And they're concluding from that what they think the right balance is, and they go to the floor of the House or the Senate, and they debate those matters and move legislation. It's no more complicated than that. That is the system that we have because we understand the wisdom, the common sense of the body of Congress or of a jury, to my other instance. We do exactly the opposite of what the elites say. Oh, boy, this is all a lot better off when we have unaccountable people who nobody knows, nobody selected them, nobody knows them, nobody can try to petition them for change. They're just sitting in, like I say, some cubicle over at the EPA, and they're rewriting the laws that are passed by the people that we sent there to write the laws. The system's back to the way it is intended under and operating under our Constitution for 200 years, and it's a welcome day, and you're going to see a lot. I'll tell you, you know who's busy these weeks? all the federal judges around the country who are in the middle of deciding on a host of different things before their court, the landscape just changed dramatically, and they no longer have the ability to just defer to an agency, nameless, faceless bureaucrat agency. They no longer have that ability to just say, well, we'll defer to them. They're the experts. They have to look at what do the laws say and how are they being applied.
All this to say, very complicated. And thank you for helping us break this down. We have North Dakota's Attorney General Drew Wrigley joining us here on the show. I know we're busy people here today, so I had to let you go. But thank you for joining us in the conversation for WDAY Midday, sir.
Appreciate the opportunity.